Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the IPH Limited 2018 half-year results conference call. All participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press the star key, then one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Dr. Andrew Blattman, CEO and Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and welcome to IPH result presentation for half year 18. As many of you know, I have followed us, or those of you who followed our story will know, this is my first result as CEO, having taken the position over in late November last year from David Griffith. I'm sure David's on the line somewhere. He could be on a banana chair for all I know, so we'll call out to him and welcome him to the results presentation. And with me on the call today is our CFO, John Wadley, who's also known to many of you who have been following our story. Before I move into the slide presentation per se or in some detail, I guess when I look at the results as a whole, I'm very pleased to see what we've always been, has underpinned our business for the last 20 years, a return to growth in Asia. And John will pick up this in the financials, but our theme for these HY18 results is Asia growth. And it's a growth which is building strongly, and is building strongly in the second quarter, both in filings and in revenue. Of course, we've had some headwinds on FX, but the underlying business is strong, and I'm, as I say, very pleased to see that Asian growth. We've always said Asia is our growth engine. Australia's always been a mature market since we came to you in 2014. Nothing's changed. We've had some impact of the AIA in Asia, more so than Australia in the last 2 years. That's passed. We're doubling our filings in China. We're well placed to continue the growth path that's underpinned our Asian business since we first opened the shop in Singapore some 21 years ago this year. Now let's step through the slides in some more detail. The presentation will be a little bit different than what we've done in the past, in that we'll have the operational highlights, and then I will also step into some a merger in the context of Spruce and Ferguson and some of our friends in Brisbane, which was announced last week. It was announced in the middle of some turbulence on the market, so it probably got lost in the wash, but we'll go through that, again, reflecting the nature of our two markets that we operate in. So let's just step through slide in your pack, is number four. HY18 operational highlights, Australia and New Zealand. I'm very pleased to say that the IPH group has maintained its number one patent market share position in Australia, 24%. That, of course, includes our friends from AJ Park and their Australian filings. Our trademark position is also number one, 15% market share for the qualified trademark market, as we describe it, again, including AJ Park's Australian filings. I should also say, in the context of Australia and New Zealand, for the first time was AJ Park to join us. AJ Park is also has a number one market share position in New Zealand. The Australian patent market is slightly down, around about 2%, reflecting a reduction in Chinese inbound filings. And what we've also seen, in the context of Australia, is a secondary American Invents Act spike relating to the cycling of patent examinations. Now you, like I'm sure, thought you might have been passed over the American Events Act. We've talked about it for 2 years, and I thought we were almost through it. And in fact, I was pleased to see that generally the filings normalised post the AIA impact. But what we have seen, and albeit in each group relatively small, but across the four businesses in the Australian market, the impact becomes significant, is the impact on the next revenue cycle of in patent examination. Now, you may recall, those of you who followed the story for a long time, that in September, October 2015, we had a peak in filings brought on by a law change in America back in 2013, which was called the American Events Act. That, of course, took some work out of us in the following year, particularly in Asia, where we had not only a peak for one country like Australia, we had a peak for six countries. But in Australia, we had a subsequent peak as well. So what happens is, and it just underpins the nature of our business essentially, and it's a recurring income, annuity style income almost, because lo and behold, in the next step in the application process is patent examination, and depending on the capacity of the patent office, that normally takes place some 12 to 16 months post that filing. So 12 to 16 months after that spike of September, October 2015, we have seen a spike in examination requests of around October, December 2016, first half 17. So that then sees to a comparably weaker first half 18 for IPH in the context of Australian revenue based on examination. Now, sure, there'll be a peak in examination reports and a peak in examination responses, but as the time goes on, each of those peaks become less of an impact as applications change their timing based on examiner's reports and their client instructions, and it starts to essentially even out. So that's part of the Australian story for the first half. The other things that have happened in Australia and New Zealand for us, Spruson & Ferguson, the major asset of IPH, the Sydney office moved. We haven't moved for 34 years, not a small undertaking, but it's made one a lot easier by the fact that we've also moved to electronic files in the last 12 months, and that was made our position not only easier for the move, but also for workflow. And one thing I'll talk about in a minute is that merger of Fisher Adams Kelly Callanans with Cullens was announced last week, with that expected to be completed in financial year 2019. Asia, as I say, Asia is a good story, and it's a good story for a number of reasons. Firstly, IPH has maintained a number one patent market position in Singapore, 24% market share. Calendar year to date, I'll go through some of the eccentricities of calendar year to date data, which you're probably familiar with, given there's often a little delay in Singapore to get the actual full market details, and certainly a delay in some of the other jurisdictions. We saw a return to growth of revenue and EBITDA, up 4 and 3% respectively. And we saw very pleasingly a doubling of Chinese patent filings. I'll speak to this again throughout the presentation, but many of you will recall my comments in relation to China last year. And I see it as an important asset in our business and an important opportunity in our business. And the doubling of the filings gives me great comfort that we're heading in the right direction. What else do we have? We have, in this whole theme of growth in Asia, and particularly growth in the second quarter in Asia, we saw extremely strong November, December, and indeed January patent filings, which is very pleasing. So essentially, let's say the patent filings in Asia have normalised, and it was buffeted by some aspects of AIA, but we've come through that. The examination, request for examination impact in Asia is less because a lot of jurisdictions, you don't even request examination. It varies across the nature of the jurisdiction and the timing of the filings. The other thing I will talk about in the Singapore slide, in the next couple of slides, is the contribution of PISI Singapore, and that's starting to become significant. So I love the fact that PISI is one of the best marketers in the Australian patent market, and they're starting to make an impact in Singapore, and it's great to have them on board. The data analytics software, all software products are now released and are being actively promoted for sale. We've got some new client wins across the entire product range and a building sales pipeline. In terms of growth opportunities, AJ Park has traded in line with our financial expectations. We've closed the Sydney office recently, and we have some margin improvement programs well underway. I guess that acquisition is another reflection of our strategic and disciplined approach to the assessment and due diligence of potential acquisitions. It's a good business on its own, and it also gives opportunity to drive revenue and filings into Southeast Asia, our growth engine. We continue to evaluate acquisition and expansion opportunities in the Asia Pacific region. In the corporate space, there has been a transition, and our success or otherwise will be for others to judge, but I've become new CEO of IPH effective 20 November 2017. I'd also like to welcome to the executive team Wendy Russell, in the new role of People and Culture Director. It reflects the group's expansion, a great addition to the group. It ensures alignment of principals, professional staff with career progression and helps to future-proof IPH. So moving to the next slide, before we get to John's financials, I just wanted to revisit our combination of brands under Spruson and Ferguson, which was released to the market last week. On 6th of February, actually. So on 6th of February, we announced Fisher Adams, Kelly Cullens, and the firm of Spruson and Ferguson, both, of course, in Australia and Asia Pacific, combining with a co-branding from April this year and a full integration expected early in the financial year 2019. Now, Spruson and Ferguson itself, even without these additional businesses, is the number one patent filer in Australia, clearly this year. And with the combined group going forward, we have a patent market share of 16%, employing more than 400 people, including 152 IP professional staff, giving us primary offices in 10 locations across the Asia Pacific region. I don't think there's many IP groups in the Southern Hemisphere that have that kind of reach. What it gives us is the capacity, the capability, professionally and indeed the marketing power to service our client base, to provide our staff with the greatest career opportunities, and again to continue to drive growth in Asia, together with a margin improvement in Australia. As I said in my preamble, we've always said Australian market is mature. This strategy of brand combination allows us to get in front of that and continue to drive margin expansion as we have done for generations at Spruson & Ferguson and more recently in the form of IPH. So with that, that's my introduction. I will hand over to John to take us through the financials and I'll pick up again more operationally. Over to you, John.
Thank you, Andrew, and good morning, everyone. I've moved to slide 6 in the presentation. I think the headline on this slide captures the two main messages for the half from a financial perspective, the return to Asian growth and the impact of foreign exchange on our results. Looking at the foreign exchange first, you'll recall this time last year we called out a large unrealised foreign exchange gain in the first half 17 results. This is related to the revaluation of our US dollar denominated cash and receivables on the balance sheet as the US dollar value spiked post the US election. This was in the order of $2 million and reversed in January 2017. Therefore, the starting point for a comparative review half on half is to remove that gain from the prior year. In addition, the comparative is impacted by the average Australian dollar to US dollar exchange rates in the relevant periods. The average in the first half of 17 was 0.754, while in the first half of 18 it was 0.779. The strengthening of the Australian dollar by an average of 2.5 cents has the impact of weakening reported results. Our previous guidance on this was a 1 cent movement in the Australian USD, equated to $950,000 on an annualised basis. The combination of these factors and a number of less material FX-related matters negatively impacts the comparatives by approximately $3.1 million. It's also important to remember when looking at the various analyst reports who cover IPH that they are using different exchange rate assumptions, so merely adding them together can sometimes distort the outcome. Moving on to the other highlight of the results has been the return to like-for-like growth of the Asian operation, being at 4% at the revenue line and 3% at the EBITDA line. I mentioned the other points on the following slides, although I'll highlight the interim dividend maintained at 11.5 cents per share, of which 40% will be franked. Moving forward, our latest estimates have dividends over the next year franked at between 40 and 60%. Moving on to slide 7, being the like-for-like revenue and EBITDA growth. And you may notice elevation in prominence in our presentation, as this seems to be the slide of most interest to our observers. The like-for-like basis eliminates the impact of acquisitions and the foreign exchange impacts that I have just discussed. On a like-for-like basis, on a like-for-like revenue, on a group basis, has decreased by 2% and EBITDA by 3%. The new business column in the table reflects the two-month contribution of the AJ Park business and the additional 4 months contribution of the Hong Kong China business, which was acquired in October 2016. The next two columns to the right show the FX impact on both the balance sheet and the profit and loss, and the relevant rates have been provided in the table to the right. As Andrew mentioned, the Australian revenue decline was greater than the Australian marketing filing trend. While we'd all hoped that we'd never have to mention the America Invents Act or AIA impact again, upon review, it was necessary to call this out. While the impact is not material to any one of our four Australian businesses, when added together, it was a significant factor. Eliminating this impact from the comparative, the revenue decline in Australia would have been 3% and generally in line with the filing trend, and would have actually shown EBITDA growth of 2%. For those of you who it's of interest, we include a American Invents Act history and the impact on our results, and it's in the appendices to our presentation. Moving on to slide 8, and again the impact of foreign exchange. The addition of AJ Park to the group has added further to the US dollar exposure. Accordingly, our guidance on the impact of a 1 cent change in the Australian USD has increased from the $950,000 I mentioned earlier to $1.3 million on an annualised basis. A measure that we have taken in the past 6 months that has reduced some level of exposure has been the drawing of debt in US dollars for the AJ Park acquisition. Previously, our balance sheet had material balances of US dollar denominated cash and receivables, but no significant US dollar liability. In addition, the US denominated interest expense will also assist in reducing the net P&L exposure, albeit in a less material way. I'll now hand back to Andrew to review the filing and market share data.
Good, thanks John. I'm now moving on to slide 9 and in more particular slide 10, the business snapshot. As you can see, business gets bigger, 635 employees, probably a few more as we hopefully expand the businesses. That makes IPH one of the largest patent and trademark groups, as I've said, in the Asia-Pacific region. 80 principals gives us the bandwidth, 157 professional staff, the opportunity to continue to service clients and drive revenue. In terms of brands, as I say, we've consolidated some brands in Brisbane, and the Pizzies and AJ Park brand remain standalone, and of course, our friends at Practice Insight are retained. In terms of our footprint, I use this opportunity to again make a warm welcome to our friends at AJ Park. Without question, New Zealand's premier firm. Their offices in Auckland and Wellington expand our footprint and give us the ability to further drive Asian growth. As I've said in my highlights, 24% market share in Australia and New Zealand is a great result, and maintained in an active market. Number one patent group in each of Australia, New Zealand and Singapore, 16,000 plus patent filings per annum, 5,000 plus trademark filings. Other than some domestic firms in China, I'd be very surprised if there are any other IP groups with these volumes of IP filings. So, slide 11, here we are in the context of Australia. As I say, we've continued to maintain number one position in IPH, and indeed Spruson and Ferguson is at the number one position even before any brand consolidation. But it's a softer market. It's a softer market by 2%. A lot of that sits in the decline from Chinese applicants coming out in the first half 18 compared to where they were in half year 17. A lot of that comes back to innovation patents, which I think is probably not long for this earth, actually. So, but certainly it was a vehicle that the Chinese applicant enjoyed and certainly filed a lot of in the first half 17. The filings by IP group companies essentially mapped to market and also down by 2% against the comparative period. Look, I have to say we've examined this in some detail, as you'd expect, and there are no client losses of note across the group. There's some natural movement in client filing programs, but no significant losses. In terms of transfers, last year was the year of the transfer for Asia. This year it's been a year of the transfer to some extent for Australia. And back December was the number of file transfers, patent file transfers in December was almost, I think it was actually more than the full year 17 alone in Australia. So again, that puts us in an excellent position. Not a lot of that gets picked up in the filings because these come across as transfers in all different stages of the examination process. But when I see transfers of that nature, I take great comfort from it. The market share in Australia, we're up to 24% up from 22% last year. Of course, this brings in the Australian filings of AJ Park, and it puts us in a dominant position in the Australian market. Now moving over to Singapore, a great result. Number one patent market position in Singapore, and the total market, it says here it's down a couple hundred cases, might be 1 or 2%. I think we haven't actually got the database fully updated at this point for the end of calendar year 17. There's a bit of a delay when the case is actually filed and when they appear in the Singapore database, unlike Australia where it's almost real time. I expect a few more patent filings to sit on that patent, the total patent market in Singapore before we're done. Regardless, IPH and certainly Spruce and Ferguson holds number one market position of 24% market share. I will call out the contribution by Pizzies, but before doing so, I will also indicate that Spruce and Ferguson's position has improved by 4% in Singapore. People tell me, can we get any more market share in Singapore? Well, we're not done yet in that context either. And now we're getting the traction of Pizzies Singapore, and these guys have filed over 120 patent applications calendar year to date 17. And for the first time, they've appeared in the top 15 of Singapore agents, overtaking some of the well-established firms. You have to remember, this firm operates on a very light touch. At this stage, the investment and the capacity of business can only improve. They're the best patent marketers in Australia, and we haven't even seen what they can offer yet in Singapore. I'm looking forward to watching this space in the next year to come. Moving on to slide 13, the Asian patent market. I guess the message in this slide, and indeed the previous one, and one as I've referred to already, is Asia's returning to growth, not only in filings, but in revenue as well. And that acceleration or that building of the growth is more pronounced in the second quarter. In fact, as I say, the filings by IPH companies, and particularly Spruce and Ferguson in November, December and indeed January, one of the best November, December, January we've ever seen. And in the context of second quarter growth, we're up 15% in Asia patent filings on first quarter. This is a good momentum. Momentum's building. We've got opportunity as reflected in slide 6, where we have our markets here. You've seen these before. I know it's calendar year 16. I know it's not the most up-to-date, but I can't get up-to-date figures easily. It's hard to get up-to-date figures in Indonesia and Thailand. But what it says is opportunity. And if we can continue our momentum on that, then we can push that market share forward. You have to remember we've opened offices in Thailand and Indonesia. We've acquired a business in Hong Kong. They're low market shares, they're growing markets, and they're opportunity for IPH. Slide 14, I've talked about China for a while. Well, now we're starting to deliver. It's the biggest patent market in the world, 1.3 million applications, and 133,000 of those are what we see as our addressable market at the moment. We have more than doubled our patent filings in China on first half 18 compared to 17, and that includes work from organic growth and importantly, referrals. In fact, the overall patent filings in China coming from our sister firms and business units underneath IPH has increased by 56%. That improved revenue synergy and opportunity to, it gives me... It's a measure I look at going forward for future acquisitions as well. It's an opportunity of referral and revenue synergy is how we make our decisions on acquisitions going forward. We've made some more professional appointments in China. We've got a good team there. We've got some very good people in China, and I think that they will start to continue. They will continue that momentum. I'm spending a lot of time there, and it's an opportunity we can't look back on. Figure 7 just shows you the Asian market without China. Again, 3% increase. Hong Kong particularly, the total market went up by 15%. That's a small market, patent market for us. We acquired what's essentially a trademark business in Hong Kong. Now it's the fact that it's growing, you know, hopefully will grow with it. So slide 15, I'm repeating myself here, but the growth we're seeing in the second quarter, again, indeed, the general growth in Asia on filings, we're in good shape. Trademarks, I haven't talked about trademarks a lot, but you can see there's significant increases in trademark filings. A lot of that's come from the acquisition of AJ Park. I also say that the merger of the Brisbane firms of Spruce and Ferguson and the trademark practices of firms such as AJ Park provide us a wonderful platform to leverage trademarks into Southeast Asia and China. That's an area we're a bit weak on, in that you might recall from those who followed us for a long time, we had to sit on the sidelines in Singapore for trademarks for 3 years until the end of 2015. We're getting some traction now, good people involved in that business, and we'll see some more activity going forward there, I hope. So I'll flick back to John for his financials.
Looking at slide 17, which is the calculation of the underlying revenue and EBITDA, and that's mainly there just to show that it's been calculated on a consistent basis with the prior period. The captions acquisition costs, combination adjustments and restructuring expenses primarily relate to the AJ Park acquisition. Moving on to slide 18, the earnings per share has predominantly been impacted by the lower statutory net profit after tax, as well as, to a smaller extent, the impact of adding the weighted average number of shares from the AJ Park acquisition, but with their contribution to NPAT being immaterial at this point. One item of note here is that financing costs moving forward will be approximately US$800,000 per year as a result of drawing of debt for the AJ Park acquisition. On to slide 19, this slide shows the continued progression of the group since listing through both acquisition and organic growth, albeit moderated in this half by the foreign exchange factors outlined earlier. Moving on to slide 20, reviewing the cash flow statement, and while slightly down on the prior period, the cash conversion does remain strong. It has to remember that at times movements in the values of the foreign denominated balances can have a short-term impact on this calculation. Going to slide 21, and finally looking at the balance sheet, the larger movements relate to the AJ Park acquisition and the debt drawn to fund it. In December, we have extended the tenure of our debt facility to January 2021, and thus the drawn debt remains as non-current. We also took the opportunity to reduce the headroom on our facility to reflect current requirements, with a resultant saving in undrawn facility fees. I'll hand back to Andrew to review the growth.
Good, thanks, John. I'm on slide 23. Look, it's just a recapping where we are. In the second half, we expect the group's trading businesses to revert to growth rates, which we know well. We continue to focus on margin improvement across all the businesses, including IT initiatives, business process improvements, and including, of course, the integration of the FAKC and Cullens into Spruce and Ferguson. In relation to that, as we announced in 6th of February, that we expect restructuring costs of about $1 million in financial year 18 and anticipated benefits, $1 to $2 million in financial year 19. Of course, the group will receive a full 6 months contribution from the AJ Park business in the second half. The software business, as I say, all products are released, focus on marketing, and the loss there of $2 to $2.5 to $3 million is primarily sales and marketing expense. Asia, expected IPH filing growth will continue to trend back to where we were pre-AIA. We expect to maintain market share in Singapore, and hopefully with the PISIs underway, who knows where that will go. Focus on leveraging and strengthening the existing network in Asia. That's the wonderful thing about having acquisitions such as whether it be AJ Park or the domestic businesses in Australia, is their ability to refer work into the Asian network. In China and Hong Kong, we will focus on strengthening the patent capability of those offices and capturing market share in what we see as opportunity markets. The case transfers are always lovely, and they give you a nice kick along. So the growth opportunities, AJ Park, we've only had it on board for a short period, but it's certainly trading in line with financial expectations. There's a strong focus on margin expansion and, of course, the client introduction into the IPH network. And going forward, nothing's changed. We continue to evaluate acquisition and expansion opportunities in Asia Pacific with a view to driving opportunity into our Asian operations. So on that note, that finishes the formal presentation, but we certainly are happy to take questions, and maybe I'll hand back to the moderator at this stage.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press the star key, then 1 on your phone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the star key, then 2. We have time today for one question per person, and the first question comes from Nick Cayley of Bellew Holst. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi, guys. A very minor question. Just the franking level on the dividend, 40%. What's the outlook for that from here?
I think I mentioned that over the next year it's going to be between 40 and 60%.
Okay. I'm only allowed one question, so I'll go away now.
Thank you. There are actually no more questions at this time, and that does conclude our conference for today. Actually, we've got one that's just popped up from Sam Haddad of Bell Potter Securities. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Just want to sort of talk about sort of visibility and forecasting. Like back at in your full year result, you gave guidance that, you know, things will revert back to, will normalise back to the long term trend in ANZ, and you're very upbeat in terms of the case transfers into Asia, and we're seeing now in hindsight ANZ move backwards by 2%. You know, the market's gone back. So there's a deviation there of 4-5% versus, you know, the long-term growth rate that you've guided for. Just want to get your comments as, you've given further outlook statements to say that things will revert back to those long-term trends, but what gives you that confidence? And, like, what, as an analyst, what would you guide us to? Pointers can you give us to in terms of helping us forecast this?
Sure. Thanks, Sam. Nice to hear from you. I guess when I look at the history of the patent filings in Australia over the last 25 years, that's what gives me the confidence as what the trend levels are. They haven't changed that much. Sure, we've had the Chinese come in and come out on the basis of the American Invents Act, on the basis of innovation patents, rather, which has come and is about to go. But in history of, well, I've been in the game for 23 years, I can't compare with the 44 of others, but over that period, the trend lines are GDP style, and I don't really see anything changing. Australia's a place that is attractive to patent filers. It always has been, and I can't see that changing. In Asia, we've always said it's our growth engine. There's nothing inconsistent with that. It was hit by its own success, in particularly for us, because we have an exposure not only for Singapore but for multiple jurisdictions. So when we get a big kick, it's a big kick, and then as a consequence, the pullback is significant also. But the fact that we have had growth in the first half and what I'm seeing in the second quarter lets me say I think we'll go back to pre-AIA levels.
Thank you. The next question comes from Sasha Jovanovic of CompSec. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Andrew. Just a question about the patent filings in Asia. I mean, we can see the calendar 16 total patent filings seem to be going up, but given that Singapore and Australia have kind of drifted backwards in the last year, but you seem to be picking up more patent filings within your own business, Is that an indication that the overall market's going up strongly, or do you think there might be more coming to your business there?
Oh, look, it's I'd like to think it's both. But look, we have focused on leveraging our filings into the network, no question. And as I say, PISIs are getting some traction now. I think they'll get more traction. They're good marketers. In terms of the total market in Asia, I mean, it is a growing market and will continue to grow. Now, I guess you can. We are kind of hampered somewhat in that I know it's calendar year 16 data, which is not ideal, WIPO, the World Intellectual Property Organization, sends out data on an annual basis, but it's always, I think, two years to 18 months old. You simply don't have the transparency at the database level in most of the jurisdictions outside of Singapore and Southeast Asia. In some of those jurisdictions, you have to send, if you want to get the real data, you've got to send someone down to count the files to the patent office. That's the reality. But, you know, we've opened in Thailand and Indonesia on the basis that there are growth markets, and we see Hong Kong as an opportunity. It's had a 15% growth in the total market, and we've had little penetration into Hong Kong yet, so there's upside there.
Thank you. The next question comes from Nicholas Atkinson of Morgans. Go ahead, please.
Oh, g'day, Andrew. Look, just a quick question just regarding, looks like, you know, later this year you've got the Pizzies guys coming out of escrow and the Cullens, but you talk very highly of the Pizzy team. What strategy is in place to make sure they remain part of, you know, the IPH group over the longer term?
Oh, that's a good question, Nicholas. And look, I think these guys are good patent attorneys and very good marketers, and it's a dialogue that we have with the team. And, you know, we've got Wendy on board in the HR position. As part of her challenge is alignment. And you know, I want people to buy into the opportunity of IPH and be aligned. So we've done something similar in Spruson and Ferguson. You've probably followed the story there with people that came out of escrow and then indeed came up to their three-year initial employment contracts, and most of those are still with us today. 4 years down the track. We've done it before, and hopefully we'll do it again.
Thank you. The next question is from Nadvai Norzan of Capital Dynamics. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning. I just have one question here with regard to the merger of Spruson, Ferguson, FAKC, and also Cullens. Typically, when you merge, I'm just wondering that the lay... between the clients, would there be any conflicts there if you file and merge them together? If you can give us clarification there, thanks.
Look, we've had a look at the client databases across the three groups, of course. Look, if you're in a contentious business where in litigation was primarily what you did, you may be concerned with mergers. But what we do, the biggest part of what we do is patent and trademark filing and prosecution, most of which involves data which and the publication of which has occurred even before it reaches Australia. So all of what we do is post-publication, and the potential for direct conflict is in terms of legal conflict is pretty small. We think the minimal impact, we think the impact rather will be very, very minimal.
Thank you. The next question comes from James Lawrence of Morgans. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Andrew and John. Just a quick question on the AJ Park business. Looking at the EBITDA contribution and backing in the acquisition costs, I think it gets roughly around a 16-odd% margin there. Where do you see, now that you've been in the business for a little while, where do you see that kind of getting to over the next little while?
Good question, Jay. Look, the answer to that is a great opportunity. This is a premier firm with premier clients. It's a firm very similar to Spruson and Ferguson. And I think everyone's got a commitment and a willingness to achieve margin improvement in that business. So I'm hoping to move that along in the short term, and we've already got things in place to try and achieve that.
Thank you. The next question comes from Joshua Baker of Paragon Funds Management. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Andrew. I was just wondering if you could talk to the competitive dynamic in the Australian market for patents, given it's been consolidated by yourself and a couple of other listed peers as well.
Oh, well, I can't speak for what our friends are feeling, but Spruson and Ferguson is, as an example in Australia, has put a bit of a distance between them and the next patent attorney in terms of market share. But in terms of what we do is we're competitive. We're a competitive firm. We haven't lost clients on the basis of our charges. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the market share we have. So it is competitive, sure, but it's been competitive for 40 years.
Thank you. The next question is from Sam Haddad of Bell Potter Securities. Go ahead, please.
Hello again. So just on the outlook again, talk about reversion back to market trends in Asia and Australia. So is that going to be, so Singapore traditionally is sort of mid single digit, outside of Singapore it's high single digit, low double digit, so the blend being high single digit, top line, is that right, in Singapore, and low single digit in Australia?
That's right, Sam. So in Australia, we're hoping in the second half in Australia to get back to that GDP style growth. And in Asia, yes, yeah, that mix between the Singapore and the faster growing markets. So you are probably getting that 6 or 7% mix.
And just quickly on a follow on that. So you've said 15% quarter, second quarter on first quarter. Is that right? Or was that on PCP?
Sorry, what was the question?
You said in Asia you grew 15% in quarter two. What was the comparison on that, please? Was that in filings or revenue?
That was filings.
Thank you, sir. There are no further questions at this time, and that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.